Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A passage of scripture that I know many of you have committed to memory. A great giving passage preached from all the time. But I want you tonight to look at three very simple things that to me have been profound in my life. And I found them to be profound in the lives of people I admire and respect. There are people who, when they give, you say, that's how I want to do it. That's the person I want to be. They have something. And they do it with the spirit, and they do it with the heart, that you say, I want that. I want that. And tonight I want to encourage you, every one of us need to be that person. We need for people to be able to look at us and say, I want to give just like that man does, just like that lady does. Let's read the passage of Scripture, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, starting at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, as according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of nor necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Wow. Here's a promise. God says, when you do giving my way, here's my promise to you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. Now, if man said that, you'd question it. But don't question it when God says it. Because God says, this is my promise to you. My grandparents, my mom's mother and father, were wiped out during the Depression. And my grandfather was a print setter. Now that occupation doesn't even exist anymore. Computers have eliminated it, but he would set print so that things could be printed. And a very diligent worker. And they had all their money in the bank. And boy, did they save and did they give. And all of a sudden, the banks went under. The banks where they had everything, they were in two different banks, literally failed and disappeared. And everybody said, where did the money go? It was gone. They were literally wiped out. I asked my grandmother, a very fervent Christian, I said, what'd you do when all that happened? She said, well, the first thing we did was we thanked God. Because we're commanded to, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. She said, it caught us by surprise, but it never caught God by surprise. So we thank God. And she said, we lost everything on Saturday, and we went to church on Sunday, and we gave. We gave. Because we needed God to help us. And I said, you gave when you didn't have anything. She said, we had less. She said, I had to sell things on Saturday, so I'd have money to give in church on Sunday. She said, son, it was gone. But God was still there. My grandparents were wonderfully prospered of the Lord. But it started with giving thanks and giving. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I want you to hear me. God wants you to start with giving thanks. The devil's so masterful at getting us to look at everything that's irritating and aggravating. And how many of you figured out the world's full of aggravating people? How many of you all figured that out? How many of you got some of them in your own family? Hold your hand up, will you? How many of you are sitting next to one right now, right? Sure. They're like everywhere. Oh, wow. The world is full of hope sucker outers. I love that word. I just do. Don't you ever forget, you're called of God to be a hope putter in or not a hope sucker outer. And boy, tonight, if we're going to do anything for God, it starts with us giving thanks. Do you understand what a privilege it is for us to be here where we can give? Where there's a vision for profound and wonderful things for God. Do you understand? When we give, we get to partner with this ministry and everything that they do. We're a key part. And what a privilege that is. So it starts with thanks, but then it takes giving. And God says, I want you to know, giving is what God's heart is all about. The whole reason you're saved is that for God so, what? The world. Loved the world that he gave. His only begotten son. Boy, it started with giving. Now, I love what that little boy said. He said, God doesn't need us to give. He's God. But he privileges us to give. He enables us to give. I want you to write three things down. Here's number one. I want you to look at the principle of giving here. The principle is found in verse 6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The devil's going to do everything he can tonight to get me, to get you, to sow sparingly. Oh, we ought to give something. I mean, sure. Sure, we need to do something. But come on now, don't get carried away. Don't get caught up in the spirit of the moment, because he wants you to go sparingly. And you know what God says? You want me to help you bountifully? And by the way, there's not a person here who says, I want God to be chintzy with me. Not a one. How many of you want God to be bountiful with you? That's what you want. God says, then you got to sow bountifully. My dad was in the cattle business, and we raised a lot of cattle, grew a lot of corn. Every year they'd put in 5,000 to 7,000 acres of corn. And I can remember all that seed showing up, the seed that was going to go in the ground. Semis would start coming with it, and boy, there'd be 40,000, 50,000 pounds on a trailer, and we'd have all this seed here. But the seed had to go into the ground. Something had to happen to that seed. And people would come to my dad and they would say, you know, you don't have to plant as much seed as you're doing it. You could get away with a little less seed. And my dad said, no, 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 no. He said, I'm counting on God to give me a bountiful crop. I want God to really bless what's happening here. He said, I am going to sow bountifully. And we did. Tonight, you and I get the choice of how we sow. How am I going to do it? Am I going to sow sparingly, or am I going to sow bountifully? I love the stories of men that have trusted God. I love the story of William Colgate, the man that founded the Colgate-Palmolive Company, the soap. How many of you ever used any of their soaps or things? Sure. He had to leave home when he was about 14 years of age because his family was impoverished and they couldn't afford to help him anymore. There was no children's home to go to. So he made his way to New York City saying, God, somehow I got to make some money just to hold body and soul together, and I hope I can do something to help my family. They're starving to death. And he got on a riverboat canal tug. And the captain was a very fervent Christian. And he said, have you got any advice for me? I'm just starting out. And he said, yeah, give. Give. Whatever you do, son, you want to see God be bountiful with you? You got to be bountiful with him. Give. William Colgate said, I never heard anything like that before. But 2 days later, that tugboat captain led him to the Lord. When they parted, he said, just remember, you want God to be bountiful with you? You have a duty to give bountifully. William Colgate said, I never forgot that. He made his way to New York, started a small soap company, and the first thing he did was he said, I'm going to give God 10% of everything, not just that I make, but everything that the company makes. So 10% of what I get and 10% of what the company gets. And God opened the floodgates. Then he raised it to 20%, then 30%, then 40%, then 50%, then 60%, and at the end he was giving 80% of everything to the work of God. And when people would come to him and say, why are you doing this? Don't you understand? You could live lavishly. You could be wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. He said, I am wealthy. Can I remind you, people that got all their wealth stuck down here, the day they die, they're broke. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. The day we die, it all stays right here. It's only what we gave that goes on. And he said, they said, well, what's the secret? He said, a tugboat captain taught me to give. Boy, what a lesson. Now, that's a lesson that a lot of great men in industry have learned. The Kraft of Kraft Foods gave 90%. H.P. Crowell, the man that founded Quaker Oats, literally did everything that Moody needed and gave all the resources. He gave 80%. Heinz, how many of you ever heard of Heinz ketchup? How many of you all have eaten the Heinz ketchup? How many of you, like me, love the Heinz ketchup, right? That's good stuff. That man gave 75 and 80% of everything. These men believed that God honored giving. I love Anthony Rossi. He was in Florida, where the children's home is located. He got there impoverished, had nothing. But he got a job, and someone said, I want to lead you to Christ, and they did, and I want to teach you to give. He started a little company, and day one, he said, I'm going to give 10%, and the company's going to give 50%. And God's blessing broke out all over it. That little company is now called Tropicana. How many of you ever had Tropicana orange juice, right? Somebody gave. You want God to be gracious and beneficial to you, you have to be beneficial. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, but he who sows sparingly, oh, don't cheat yourself. By the way, when you cheat yourself, you cheat your family. You cheat your loved ones. You cheat the cause of Christ. Don't do that. Tonight, I want to encourage you, give bountifully and get ready to reap. Look at the second thing it says. God says, not only do I want you to sow, not only do I want you to do it bountifully, he said, I want you to do it with an attitude. Every man, verse 7, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Now, I want to tell you right now, the ministry will take your money if you give it cheerfully or uncheerfully. But you're going nowhere with God if it's not done cheerfully. I wish you could sit on the platform and watch offerings be taken. When they're passing the offering plate, there's people who look like they're in agony. It's like they're saying goodbye to a friend. They put something in the offering plate, and it's like, goodbye, little buddy, goodbye. I hate to see you go. No, 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 no. God says, I want you to do it with the right spirit. And God says, I'll enable you to do it joyfully. Because God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. Whoa. My son Matthew, we were in church. I'll never forget the Wednesday night. I don't remember anything that was preached, but it's a Wednesday night marked in my mind. And there was a missionary, and I don't remember what he said. But I remember he had a financial need, and the pastor was saying, we got to do something. Well, Matt's sitting right next to me, and he said, Dad, I got the money in the bank saved for school to meet that need. I got it. And I think God wants me to give it. I said, oh, that's a sweet thought. I said, how much are you thinking of giving? He said, everything I have. I said, now, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 Matt. I'm telling you right now, you have worked for years to accumulate that. While other people were out buying stuff, you were saving because you wanted to go to Bible college. You want to give it all? He said, yeah. I said, well, talk to your mother, talk to your mom a minute. Now, Matt's in between my wife, Gloria Ann, and me. And I'm thinking, she'll talk some sense into him. Here, I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, let's pray about it. Let's go home and think about it. He turned to her and he said, Mom, I think what God wants me to give everything I got in the bank, the whole thing. You know what my wife said? That's wonderful. I've been praying God to give me a boy like you. I'm like, what is there, something in the water? What's going on here now? What do you mean everything? He said, Dad, it doesn't belong to me anyway. That's what you say. By the way, everything in your pocket belongs to God. And he said, Dad, I just, how's God going to trust me in the future if he can't trust me now? I was watching these young people up here. I thought, boy, God can trust them. They got that heart to give. He said, I won't do it without your consent. And my wife is there. She said, I think it's a great idea. Well, Matt walked up and he said, I'll have it here in the morning. Well, the bank didn't open till 10 o'clock in the morning. Matt's at my bedside at 6:30. Come on, I want to get up. I want to be down there just in case they come in early. I said, it's 6:30. Let me. He said, no. He said, Dad, I am so happy about this. He said, I haven't been this happy over anything. And I looked at him and I thought, you're happy over giving everything away? Everything? Well, we got down there and, man, we're in the bank parking lot. And finally, one of the bank managers pulled up. He was there early and he let himself in. And boy, my son ran up to him and he said, hey, you got to help me. He said, you got money that belongs to God in there and I need to get it out. And the guy said, what now? He said, you got money that belongs to God in there, and I need it out. He said, come on in here. Let's check this all out. He never stopped smiling. We went up to the church, handed it to the preacher. He said, this is the best day of my life, Dad. He said, now let's go to McDonald's for breakfast. He said, you got to pay. I'm broke. That is what he said. I said, Matt, I love what you did. But most of all, I love the heart you did it with. I love the smile. I love the cheerfulness. Do you understand? God's not just looking at what we do. He's looking at the spirit with which we do it. By the way, as I said this morning, if you have kids, they're God's little spies, and they're watching the spirit we do this with. They're watching what our heart is. Boy, number one, God says, I don't want you to be talked into it. That's why he said, according as he purposeth in his heart. If somehow I'm just talking you into something, and it's just me, then we have failed miserably. But if based on the word of God, God's speaking to your heart, then something wonderful is taking place. Boy, I know that God has spoken to my heart already. God's spoken to my precious wife's heart. God wants us to have that cheerful, hilarious spirit. Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm just not a real cheerful kind of person. And can I remind you the fruit of the Spirit? Is love. What's the next one? Joy. Oh, listen. Do you know why you're a grump? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't got a hold of you yet. God says, I want you to get excited about this. I want you to be joyful about it. Boy, number one, we don't want to sow sparingly. We want to sow bountifully because we want to yield bountifully back. And number two, we got to do it with the right heart, with the right spirit. My son Jonathan, when he was about five, he graduated here from West Coast. He's a lawyer with our ministry now. He figured out Christmas, and he came to me and he said, Dad, I figured out Christmas. I said, good. And he said, I want to get you a Christmas gift. I said, that's wonderful, Jonathan. I'd like that. He said, yep, give me some money. Give me some money. Held out his little hand and I gave him some money. And by the way, that's everything we give to God, he gave to us. Everything. Well, he got my daughter Sharon to take him shopping. Next thing I know, I got a call from Sharon. She said, Dad, we got a major problem. Jonathan is sitting on the middle of the floor in this store, squalling like I hit him or something. He is all upset. The store manager is wanting me to get him out of here because all the people are walking up wanting to give him money. And she said, I said, what happened? She said, well, Dad, you gave him some money. I said, yeah. But he's got two things he wants to get you. And he's only got money for one. And he's begging me for money so he can get you both. She said, you cannot believe how much he loves you, Dad. It's not for him, Dad, it's for you. Can I give him some more money? I said, you bet, yeah. I said, and if anybody there wants to give him money, do it. I mean, never thought about having a good fundraiser there. He came home all excited. Boy, he said, I'm going to wrap them all up, get them ready. And my wife turned them loose with some scotch tape. He took his gifts and entombed them. I mean, four rolls of big scotch tape rolls wrapped on this gift. And then he came and he said, I want you to open it now. And I said, no, we got to wait for Christmas morning, one more day. Well, I think it was about 5 a.m., maybe 4:30. He's in our bedroom Christmas morning. Get up, it's Christmas. Come on, I want you to get your gift. I said, oh, Jonathan, go back to bed, please. My other kids were there. They were upset. They said, will you tell him to stop throwing water on us? He's pitching water on us to get us out of bed. Whew. My wife said, come on, honey. She said, look at his face. Do you have any idea how excited he is to give to you? Well, we walked out in the living room and he said, here, you got to open this. You got to do it first. And I'm trying to get this scotch tape, but he'd set it under the tree and some lights had heated it all up. And now it's just a gooey mess. And my wife said, let me go get, I have some scissors I cut turkeys apart with. So man, I'm whacking away on this thing. And Jonathan is like, come on, hurry up. I can't wait, hurry up, I can't wait. I wonder if your heart tonight is, I just can't wait. We're not given to each other. We're given to him. Finally, I got him out. The two gifts are very unusual. One is a little stone that is painted iridescent green with an orange turtle on it. And the orange turtle has a fish in its mouth that's bleeding. I don't ever have to worry about anybody stealing my turtle. I just don't have to even worry about it. And then he bought me a pen that matched it that doesn't write. And you can't open it. And he said, do you like it? I said, you have no idea how much. It wasn't the turtle. It wasn't the useless pen. It was that little boy's heart. That's what moved his dad. Tonight, God's not just looking what we write or do. He's looking to see the heart we do it with. Oh, it's everything. Number one, we got to sow bountifully if we want to reap bountifully. And boy, whatever you do, Don't get to where you sow sparingly, because you're sowing to your own hurt. Look at the third thing we got to do. There's a principle in giving. There's an attitude in giving. But then there's a reward. For God is able, verse 8, to make all grace abound toward you. Would you circle the word all? Remember, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the favor and power of God. God says, when you give, do you understand? I'm the all-powerful God. And I have the ability to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency. Boy, I love the alls in here. Somebody says, man, I need God to kick in. Here's the kick in verse. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now make sure you get this right. God wants to give to you because you gave, and he's going to do it bountifully. That's what he says. But it's not just so that you can live the high life. It's so that you can abound to every good work. He wants you to give. He's going to bountifully reward you for that so that you can give again. And then after that, he's going to give bountifully again. If you just say, I want to kick God into this thing because I want to be rich, you've missed the whole thing. Oh, he will help with your lifestyle, but not so that you can just be decadently rich. Remember what it said in James, ask and ye shall receive. But God said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lusts. If you're just playing this little game with God, and by the way, there's a lot of people on TV and radio where I hear them talking about, man, you can make it where God's got to make you rich. No, 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 no. God says, I want to bless you so that you can keep blessing. And in the measure that you sow, you'll reap. And I'll keep re-blessing you. And it will prosper you. But not just to be rich, but so that you can give and give and give again. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, and I want you to turn there, is found in the book of Luke. God says, I'm going to bless you and make it possible for you to be a great blessing to others. But what I want you to know is that I'm going to make it possible for you to be this incredible blessing that is going to make it where if you will give, I will bless you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, that verse has one word of command, give, and 39 words of promise. Give, and it shall be given unto you. God says, take that to the bank. It's my promise to you. You do that. Sow bountifully. Don't sow sparingly. Now, God doesn't want us to be the giver that has a bad attitude. And he wants us to understand his blessing is going to be so we can keep on giving. Boy, as I was watching these kids, I was praying for them. God, may they understand they're sowing so that God can bless them again, so they can sow more, they'll bless them again, so they can. That's God's cycle. But God says, I want you to know, I'm going to command you to give. And when you give, I'm going to be sure that you're blessed, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But he says, with the same meat that ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. You get sparingly with God. God says, okay, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. I don't know why you'd do that to your family. God says, I don't know why you'd do that to the cause of Christ. Because God wants you to take him at his word. I've said this many times, I've said it here, there's three types of givers in this world. And by the way, I said that verse was in Matthew, it's in Luke chapter 6, pardon me, verse 38. I've got to get my glasses redone here shortly. I misread the verse. With this I close. The world's full of polite givers. That's people who just give to be polite. There's nothing wrong with that, except you don't want to ever treat God that way. I always use the example of the Girl Scouts with their cookies when they come around. How many of you like Girl Scout cookies, right? Boy, I'm telling you, the thing I love is there's no calories in them. But they always show up when I'm home. I mean, if I'm not there, they'll say, is Mr. Gibbs here? My wife will say no. They say, we'll come back. Now, the reason I give the Girl Scouts buy their cookies is just to be polite. They're our neighbors. I'm glad they're trying to do something they hope is helpful. And it's just a polite thing. There's people who go to church and just give God a tip. Well, I ought to give something tonight. I mean, what kind of guy, what kind of lady would I be if I didn't do something tonight? Don't you dare do that to God. Don't you dare. The second kind of giver is the calculated giver. That's the person who says, I want to give, but I'm not going to give where it cuts into my lifestyle. I'm not going to give where it cuts into my dreams or my plans. And so if we can somehow measure around our dreams and our plans and cut God a little bit, we'll calculate them in. Oh, don't you do that. God knows when we're doing that. And by the way, that verse where he says, I want you to be a cheerful giver, you can't be cheerful and do that. But there's the third type of giver, and Pastor already mentioned it, and that's the faith giver. Now, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't care what we put in the plate tonight. If it's not done by faith, God took no pleasure in it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is just taking God at his word. God, you said it. You said, if I sow bountifully, you've promised me I'll reap bountifully. You said, if I give, you'll give. God, I'm taking you at your word, and I'm going to do it by faith. Now, the devil says, yeah, I know that's what he says, but man, whatever you do, go slow. No, no, no. Go bountiful. Go to God and be bountiful with it. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, in all of my years of service to my Lord, I've discovered a truth that has never failed and has never been compromised. The truth is that it is beyond the realm of possibility that one has the ability to outgive God. Even if I give the whole of my worth to him, he will find a way to give back to me much more than I gave. Wow. Are you ready tonight to do something that is bountiful? Are you going to do it with the heart, the spirit? You say, boy, this faith stuff, though, Brother Gibbs, all faith sometimes a little unsettling, but you can trust him. God has promised, just like he's promised that when you ask him to be your Savior, he'd forgive your sins and make heaven your home. That same God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. My grandmother, I mentioned in starting. I said, did you ever have trouble giving? Oh, she said, sure. But she said, we knew he'd bountifully give back, and he did. And because we were faithful in giving, you're the beneficiary of all of that. Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat your family, and above all, don't cheat God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Tonight, do it with the right spirit. Do it understanding that God wants to bless you so that you can give and keep giving to bless others. It's the heart of the gospel. Our God is a giving God. And now he wants his children to be givers. I don't know what you came here purposing tonight, but before you make the final decision, would you do this? Would you say, God, I trust you, and I want to be bountiful. And I've never done anything with my wife like this, where when we would hear that we didn't change the amount, never down, up. Because we've said, God, I know we can trust you. I know we can. And we want to receive a bountiful reward and get bountiful tonight. When you leave here, I hope you're going to have a heaven-sent smile on your face. A heaven-sent, because my God loves a cheerful, a hilarious giver.